Welcome to the Goal Line Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by Mikey Ostrowski in association with Underground Sports Philadelphia.
And welcome back to another exciting episode of the Goal Line Fantasy Football Podcast, joined once again by Kyle Bennett.
What's going on, everybody?
So, last time that you and I were on the show together, we talked about the receivers, and we ended the podcast by toying with the idea of possibly doing a kicker and defense show. So
we keep our promises.
Exactly. So guess what we're bringing you guys today? Kickers and defense. We're going to try to make it a little bit more exciting than the tight end episode was, because you can only make tight end so exciting, and I guess you can only make kickers and defense so exciting. So last episode, very end, I asked you a question. Now I want to hear your answer. I asked you, do you think kickers belong in a fantasy football lineup?
110% yes. Like, anybody who says no, sorry, you're wrong. You have the wrong take. Kickers can make or break a week for you. And I think more points for fantasy is a good thing. So if you think kickers shouldn't be on a fantasy team, you're wrong.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's actually surprising what an overwhelming response there is on Twitter about whether or not kickers should be a part of fantasy. And I think it's nuts that there's so many people saying no. I mean, you and I are going to just dive into the top six guys, and we'll talk about a few kickers that, you know, we think could actually make a significant difference in fantasy in 2019. But, I mean, some kickers average over double digits a week. Some kickers average less than 8 points a week. And, I mean, you're right. More points is better. And who knows, you could have a kicker go off like Greg Zuerlein did 2 years ago and put up 30 fantasy points in a single week. And then you could also have a kicker that kicks one extra point and gets you 1 point. So, I mean, there's a huge variance that kickers create. And let's face it, it's always exciting if you're against an opponent and there's nobody left for either of your teams to play except for your kicker, and you need 4 points from him on a Monday night. That's fun to watch.
Exactly. And so, speaking of Greg Zuerlein, he brought me a glorious championship because of that 30-point game. So shout out to the Legatron on the one time.
Exactly. So kickers belong in fantasy football. There's no question about it. Kyle and I are in a keeper league together that I commission, and Kyle's been in for all six of the years that we've had the league. And you can bet your ass that kickers are here to stay.
Kickers matter.
Kickers matter. But you know when they don't matter? Probably in the first six or seven rounds of your draft.
That, or when they double doink in the playoffs.
Ooh, yeah. Speaking of him, here he had a little alter to his contract recently.
Yeah, he's looking for a new job. So Cody Parkey will not be on our kicker list because he is currently a real-life free agent.
Yeah, he double doinked himself right out of a roster spot.
Puns. So,
oh, yeah. But anyway, so we'll go over the top six guys, like I was saying, for the kickers. And we'll talk about these guys if, you know, we think they're repeat offenders on the top six list. And then we'll talk about some guys that we can see, you know, making their way into it in 2019. So first and foremost, number one was Kyemi Fairbairn from Houston. He averaged 10.8 fantasy points a game, which is pretty damn good considering only two kickers in the entire league averaged double-digit points. And he finished with 162 points, which is pretty damn respectable.
He was, I think, one of the bigger surprises of this season because nobody knew who Fairbairn was coming into the year. And then he ends up in Houston and just becomes a force because they put up so many damn points because Deshaun Watson is a filthy quarterback. DeAndre Hopkins, like we said on the receiver episode, is an absolute alien. And Fairbairn was a nice surprise for fantasy owners, especially at the kicker position, who was getting consistent, like, close to wide receiver three numbers all year long.
Yeah, and the cool thing about Fairbairn is, you know, he's on an amazing offense. You know, he had 37 extra points out of 39, I believe. So he went 37 for 39 on extra points, which is respectable. But that shows that he doesn't get, you know, all of his points just from kicking extra points. He had 12 field goals between 40 and 49 yards, and he actually had four of 50-plus. So we know he's got a good leg on him. And let's face it, I mean, Houston, you know, three out of five times is going to get the ball into the other team's zone. So I mean, he's going to have a lot of attempts going forward, and I think he's here to stay as a quote unquote, you know, great to elite kicker for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, he's got a boot, and I think like you said, him being on the team that he is, he's only 25 years old, and he'll play next season at age 25. And not that age truly matters for kickers, because you see guys like Matt Bryant and the older guys still doing it like well into their 40s, but mm-hmm. I think a young guy with a young, fresh leg like John Christian Kayemi Fairbairn does, I cannot say the full Kayemi part of his name, but I think he's a badass. I think he's one of the better kickers in the league. He's very underrated, in my opinion, even though he was the top fantasy kicker and one of the better real-life kickers this year. Made 37 of his 42 field goal attempts for an 88.1% you know, hit rate. And I definitely think he's going to be a top five kicker for a very long time in this league, as long as, you know, Deshaun Watson's the quarterback in Houston.
Yeah, and notice how you brought up the field goals that he attempted. I mean, he had over 40 attempts. That's a ton. That's a ton of attempts for a guy kicking field goals. So Kayemi Fairbairn, going forward, he's going to have tons of opportunity. Houston's not going to score a touchdown every single time they touch the ball, but they are pretty safe bets to score at least a little bit of points. So Kayemi Fairbairn will be probably a top three, top four kicker off of the boards, you know, in your 2019 drafts.
Definitely agree.
So next up, we have Will Lutz from New Orleans. Finished 13 points behind Kayemi Fairbairn with 149. Will Lutz did not average double-digit fantasy points, but he did average 9.9 over the season. So we'll give it to him, and we'll say that he snuck into double-digit conversation. I mean, New Orleans is one of those offenses that, as long as Drew Brees is still there, I mean, they're still going to be a high-powered offense. And I see no reason as to why Lutz isn't going to stay as a top five, top six kicker.
Yeah, again, we're talking a young kicker. Lutz is only 24. He'll play next year at 25 with his birthday being over the summer. He was, I believe, the most accurate kicker this season. Only missed two field goal attempts. He went 28 of 30 for a 93.3% hit rate. And that's coming off of 2017, where he went 31 of 36. So he's got a career hit rate of 87%. That's elite in this league. Will Lutz is one of the best gifts that Sean Payton could have ever received from the Baltimore Ravens, because for those of you that don't know, Will Lutz was on the Ravens practice squad during training camp and all throughout it, and obviously they were going to keep Justin Tucker, and the Saints needed a kicker, so John Harbaugh called Sean Payton and said, "Hey, I got this guy here. I think he's going to be great. He could be the next Justin Tucker." And lo and behold, he's been just that, if not better. And I think Will Lutz is definitely an elite kicker in this league. And even with Drew Brees being there, he's going to kick extra points. He's going to kick field goals. He's one of the best in the league right now.
Yeah, he had, you know, through the first 16 weeks of the season, he had 50 extra points. I mean, you're not going to find that at many places.
It's filth.
Will Lutz will definitely be a top three kicker coming off in 2019. In 2018, he was owned by 96% of leagues, which is the second highest owned percentage out of all kickers in the league. So, you know, a lot of people that had Will Lutz this past year are going to be looking to go out and grab him in 2019. So don't be surprised if, you know, Will Lutz is the second or third kicker name that you see come off, you know, after round 9, after round 10, when people start worrying about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he could even be first, to be honest.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, and we'll bring him up later, but, you know, the guy that me and you want to talk about more than any of these top six guys, I think he's the only one that gets taken over Lutz.
Yeah.
But we'll get to him later. So this next guy was only owned in 23.8% of leagues. And when I tell you who it is, you're going to understand why he was barely owned. Jason Myers of the New York Jets. You don't really think that a kicker from the New York Jets is going to be of any worth to you, but he scored only 2 points less than Will Lutz. He was the number three kicker in 2019. Do I think he's going to repeat it? Probably not, just because it's the Jets and they can't seem to do anything right. But Jason Myers, third overall kicker in 2018.
I could see him repeating and being lower on the list, but I could definitely see him still being on the list because they're still a team looking to find an offensive identity that's not going to necessarily get it in the end zone every single time. But if they get into the red zone with Sam Darnold's arm, and if they potentially go out and get, say, Antonio Brown, or say even the guy who got released today as we record this on Monday, February 25th, Michael Crabtree, somebody that kind of just sets you up in the red zone and potentially gives you red zone points but might not come up with them. I think Jason Myers is a very underrated kicker. He's still pretty young, too. He's 27. He'll play next season at age 28. Last season went 33 of 36 for an almost 92% hit rate with the Jets, and coming off a season where he was cut by the Jaguars. So I think Jason Myers is one of those underrated, kind of under-the-radar pickups. If you had him, like you said, he wasn't owned in a lot of leagues, but I think he's a very sneaky pick going into next year as a kicker, and I think the Jets will be better than a lot of people think, especially with the money they have to spend, and that'll benefit Jason Myers, whether it's, you know, extra points or field goals.
Yeah, I mean, and plus, you know, they're probably the front runner to sign Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell's looking for money. He clearly doesn't care about the glory or anything like that. He's going to settle for the money. New York Jets definitely have it. So
hey, man, their offense, he's on Twitter talking about the Eagles, and my Eagles players are tweeting at him like crazy today.
He's talking to everyone on Twitter.
It continued today. Here. Captain Cravon LeBlanc said he might as well just come join the gang. And I don't know, man. I don't know.
We'll see. I don't think you're going to get your wish on that one. but you're right. Jason Myers is one of those guys where I can't believe we're talking about kickers in terms of the draft.
It's beautiful.
This is awesome. But Jason Myers, he's not going to even be a top five kicker off the board in 2019, purely for the fact that no one really knows about him. You know, he's on the Jets. He was only owned in, you know, less than 24% of leagues in 2018. So Jason Myers is going to be a guy where if you're perfectly content with waiting until the 14th or 15th round of your 15-round draft to draft a kicker, Jason Myers very well might still be there, and he might be a steal for you.
Yeah, I agree. And got to show love to the Jets somewhere, and might as well be their kicker.
Exactly, because unless they go out and grab Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown, I'm not touching anyone from their team. But next up, we have Mason Crosby from Green Bay.
The GOAT.
Yeah. He finished with 145 points, averaged 9.7 points a game. Was owned in only 55% of leagues, which is pretty surprising considering, you know, I mean, I'd personally consider Mason Crosby as one of those quote-unquote elite kickers in fantasy prior to this year. So it was kind of surprising to see him have a drop-off. He did miss 7 field goals this year.
And 4 of them were in one game.
Which is awful.
So if you take that into account and set, you know, you remove that just stat line alone, throughout the rest of the season, he really only missed 3 field goals.
Yeah, and, you know, every kicker's going to have an off game here and there, so we won't really hold that against him. I do personally think he's going to fall out of, you know, the top 5, top 6 kickers, just because, you know, there's going to be one or two guys that we're going to talk about later that I have no doubt, if they play a full season, they're going to be making their way into the top 5, top 6 conversation. So we're going to have to remove at least one of these guys, and out of all of them, I think Mason Crosby's the top candidate.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen kind of a bit of a decline from Mason Crosby the last couple years. You know, 2016, he had an 86.7% hit rate from his field goals. And then 2017, he drops down to 78.9. Granted, he was injured. And then last season goes 30 of 37 for a little bit of an uptick at 81.1%. He's one of the older kickers in the league. He's 34. He's still going to be in Green Bay for a while, but I definitely agree. Yeah. He's going to fall outside of that top 5, especially because you don't really know how this Packers offense is going to operate next season under a new head coach. Obviously, you have Aaron Rodgers still, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, if not the best. But you have to take into account it's going to be a learning curve for this team next year, so you don't know how this offense is going to operate. So I totally agree with Mason Crosby falling out. And looking at his extra point hit rate too, he has not been 100% the last 3 years. So he's missed extra points as well, which is huge when it comes to potentially, you know, game-altering fantasy matchups.
Yeah, 1 point could literally be, you know, the difference in everything. I mean, when I won the very first championship in our league, I won by 0.08. And then the next year, you beat me by, like, what was it, like 1.1?
2.2. Or
something like, 2.2. So just goes to show that every single point matters, and a missed extra point could be the thing that screws you out of a championship. So Mason Crosby, probably avoiding him. You know, if I get stuck with him, I get stuck with him. I'm not confident in him. It's just, you could do better.
Yeah, there's going to be better options for you next year. And, you know, obviously if he falls to you and you still don't have a kicker, you take him. But there's definitely going to be better options for you to kind of attack in your drafts in 2019.
This next guy we'll talk about, he is definitively the number one or number two kicker off the board every year. The trend's going to continue in 2019. Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens finishes 145 points, which is the exact same amount as Mason Crosby. But he's on a, in my opinion, much worse offense, even with Green Bay rebuilding, quote-unquote rebuilding. I think Justin Tucker still has a better chance to do better than Mason Crosby, and he's consistent, and that's really all you could ever ask for in a kicker.
Justin Tucker is consistent. I always, when I see him kick, quote the famous Hey Arnold line, if you want to win, you give the ball to Tucker. But a little bit of a concern this year for Justin Tucker. He missed his first career extra point. Not that that's huge, but it is, you know, okay, maybe he's not Mr. Automatic. He went 36 of 37, and this year had his worst season field goal percent wise since 2015. So the last couple seasons, he only had an 89.7% hit rate for his field goals, went 35 of 39. I love Justin Tucker. I think he's arguably the best kicker in the league. It is just weird to kind of see him not be as automatic as we're used to seeing him. He's only 29, so I'm not truly concerned. But I think he leapfrogs Mason Crosby, but that might just be it next year. Especially, like you said, in a worse offense, that's kind of a rebuilding team. They just cut Michael Crabtree today after one season. Lamar Jackson's their quarterback going forward. I'm a huge Lamar fan, but you don't really know what he is yet. So it's a lot of wait and see. And Justin Tucker could get a lot of opportunities if they're not getting into the end zone. But I don't think he's going to be number one like he has been in years past.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're going to talk about one more guy in the top six, and then you and I are going to start talking about a guy that we know for a fact is going to be making his way into the top six in 2019. And, you know, that's going to be the guy that I'm taking over Justin Tucker next year. But here's another guy that I would consider taking over Justin Tucker, purely for the fact that he's a great kicker. He was sitting on Carolina Panthers practice squad for a little while there, but he was behind Graham Gano, and Graham Gano is, you know, a pretty good kicker, and Carolina loves him. Harrison Butker from Kansas City, I mean, he's on the highest powered offense in the entire league. I think he's a safe bet to say top six.
Definitely. He's young. He was only 23 last year. I call him the butt kicker. You know, he hit 94.2% of his extra points. He went 65 of 69 on extra points after going
20. Can we just talk about that number? 69 extra point attempts, like,
it's pretty damn nice.
That number speaks for itself. Like, there's so much offense to go around, and you know the kicker's going to get a handful of it.
And he went 24 of 27 on his field goal attempts last year for an 88.9% hit rate. A little bit down in numbers for the field goal attempts, where in 2017 he had 42 attempts and made 38 of them. But the extra points made up for that. You know, attempting 69 extra points and making 65 of them, that's just absurd. And for him to be as young as he is, I arguably can say he might be, you know, in his own little echelon with somebody that we'll get to later, with Justin Tucker and Will Lutz. I think those are, you know, the guys that you go after in fantasy next year, and then there's kind of a drop-off into the next tier. But Harrison Butker is unbelievable.
Yeah, Harrison Butker is great. I mean, I picked him up, you know, in my one league. I don't remember if it was our league, but I picked him up in one of my leagues. Not this year, the year before when he first, you know, got traded to Kansas City. And I mean, I reaped the benefits of that. And I sincerely hope I can reap the benefits of having Harrison Butker in 2019.
He's dominant, so, man. I like the butt kicker. He was in my queue to draft him, and I got sniped for him this past season. And he's one of the dominant kickers in the league. So
yeah,
Harrison Butker. You know what? I can't say enough about him.
I think Butker is the epitome of why we should have kickers in fantasy
exactly.
football. You know, he's
that's 65 points alone from extra points.
He's good, man. He's good.
65 points just from extra points. That should be justification enough. There's some wide receivers and running backs and tight ends that don't even get 65 points in the season.
Yep. So, kickers belong in fantasy. So this next guy, we're out of the top six now. Me and Kyle are going to go over, you know, maybe two guys that we think can sneak in here. The guy that we're about to talk about, we've been keeping him a mystery. You probably already know who we're talking about. We're talking about Greg Zuerlein,
the Los Angeles Rams.
He only played in 10 games this season due to injury in the first games of 2018. But, I mean, he's literally Mr. Automatic. He had the highest average points per game with 11.4 points per game. He was the highest-owned kicker in all of fantasy at just under 97%. And he's just a freaking beast, man.
He's so good. He carried me to a fantasy championship in 2017. I missed out on him in the championship game because he did get hurt. That is my one concern with Greg Zuerlein.
He does have a lot of injury issues.
He gets injured quite a bit for a kicker, and it typically is his groin, which isn't always great. But when he's in there, he is unreal. This season went 35 of 36 from extra point land for a 97.2% hit rate, which improved upon what he did last season. Obviously, he missed more games, but still an insane percentage there. And then his field goal percent rate, he went 27 of 31 for an 87.1% hit rate, tied his third highest career long field goal with a 56 yarder. His career long is a 61. He's just got a boot, and he's one of those guys that you can rely on to typically only kick you those 40 to 50 plus field goals each and every week, because the Rams offense, like the Chiefs, is high octane. They're going to get in the end zone. He's going to kick a lot of extra points for you. That's, you know, 35 points right there just from extra points, and he only played in 10 fantasy games this year. So put that on a 16-game scale, he's right up there with Harrison Butker, potentially. And I think Greg Zuerlein's one of the top kickers in the league, but obviously your one concern is his injuries.
Yeah.
But he's definitely in that elite echelon with a Harrison Butker, with a Justin Tucker, and with a Will Lutz.
Yeah, I mean, with Greg Zuerlein, as long as there's no injury concerns in the off season, I mean, I think he's going to be the number one kicker taken off of the boards.
Yeah.
He's by far the most well-known fantasy kicker at this point.
Yeah, it's like, you know, him and Justin Tucker.
Exactly. You know, people have forgotten about Steven Gostkowski.
He's so bad.
He really is. And, you know, no disrespect to Adam Vinatieri. I love the guy.
He's just old.
But he's old. And even though he's on a phenomenal offense, I mean, I'm personally not taking him in, you know, fantasy drafts. So Greg Zuerlein, he's that rare kicker that someone's going to snag way too early in almost every single draft that you go in 2019. So unless you plan on being that guy, you're not going to get Greg Zuerlein in 2019.
Now, I will counterpoint you on Adam Vinatieri, though, real quick before we finish on Greg Zuerlein. He was really good last year, even at age 46. He went 44 of 47 from extra point land, and he went 23 of 27 with a season-long 54 from field goal range. So I wouldn't sleep on the old man Vinatieri just yet. He's still very consistent, and even at age 46, he's hitting bombs, as his former teammate Pat McAfee would say, hashtag for the brand.
For the brand.
But I think I wouldn't sleep on Vinatieri. Obviously, you're not going to take him as early as some of these guys we've already mentioned, but right. he's definitely somebody that, even though he's old, you can't, you know, discount what he's doing.
Yeah, he's a guy that, you know, I'm a firm believer in not taking a kicker or a defense until the 14th and 15th round of my drafts. And he's a guy that if he's floating around back there, I'm going to grab him. He's not going to be my first, second, third, or fourth pick or fourth choice as a kicker for my fantasy squad. But if he's floating around, you know, by the time that someone like me goes for a kicker, I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
Plus, you know, that offense is improving. Andrew Luck is healthy. He's going to be kicking a lot more. And I think Adam Vinatieri is still a safe bet for fantasy kickers in 2019.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, relevant enough to be, you know, a top 12 kicker.
Plus, he played all 16 games for the Colts.
Which is reliable, especially exactly. at his age. So you definitely want reliability with your kicker. So keep that in mind going forward. And then I'm gonna pick one more guy that we could talk about. If there's anyone else that you're truly passionate about, you know, feel free to send them in after this. But something tells me we won't be talking about too many kickers. I really, really, really like Robbie Gould in San Francisco.
Yeah, he kind of gets forgotten about out there in San Fran.
He does.
He was automatic for them. He kind of proved the Chicago Bears wrong. And
I bet the Bears wish they would have had him this year.
Wait for it. They were kicking themselves for letting Robbie Gould go. Thank you. I'll be here till the end of time. But yeah, I think Robbie Gould's definitely an underrated kicker. He's very good. He's on a good up-and-coming team, I should say. You'll be getting a good quarterback returning with them with Jimmy Garoppolo. Who knows? Maybe they get Antonio Brown. Maybe they get Le'Veon Bell. To make that offense even more high octane, to give him more chances. I like Robbie Gould a lot. Another person that I don't sleep on when it comes to fantasy wise, because he helped me win a championship when Legatron went down. Sure, he misses a little bit more than you want, but he's consistent, and that's Jake Elliott from the Eagles. Last season went 33 of 35 from extra point land for a 94.3% hit rate, and then stayed consistent with his rookie season, went 26 of 31. From field goal range, season long was 56. Both seasons of his career, he's hit from 83.9% for field goals. He's a boot, man. When he kicks those long field goals, he's near automatic. And that's something that you kind of look for strategy-wise when it comes to kickers, is the guys that you know can hit those 40 to 49 and those 50-plus yard field goals. So I think Jake Elliott's a guy that is kind of in that range with Fairbairn and those kind of guys where it's right after that mini drop-off and you go get somebody that can hit boots for you, because that's a strategy when it comes to kickers being in fantasy leagues.
I will definitely be sure to let you have him in 2019.
Hey, I'll take it. Carson Wentz is healthy. Might get Le'Veon Bell. Who knows, man? Who knows? Who knows?
I would be willing to put money that the Eagles won't be getting Le'Veon Bell. I don't think they'll even sniff his contract.
Hey, you never know. Howie Roseman's done stranger things. He brought your boy Alshon to my Eagles, so.
That's true. So, we'll see. But that'll conclude it for the kickers for us, because we do want to cram in some defenses here. So we'll just go over the top five defenses.
Wins championships.
Before we get into this, I do want to point something out. So in 2017, the Jacksonville Jaguars put up an insane amount of points. I think they had – I believe it was under 200, but it was barely under 200. And I – don't quote me on this because I don't know the exact number, but I do know for a fact that, not counting quarterbacks, they were literally a top 30 – quote-unquote fantasy player in 2017. Now, with that in mind, Jacksonville was probably the first defense taken in your 2018 drafts, and they finished with only 98 points on the year, and that's actually enough to put them in the back half of defenses in terms of fantasy for 2018. So, moral of the story is, don't draft defenses too early, no matter how much of a sure thing they are.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote sure thing.
I'm trying to find these Jacksonville points because I'm intrigued, but I agree. Obviously, you know, in our league, the Seahawks defense goes first every time. that's just a given. It's a rule. But other than that, yeah, defense, you wait till the end, even when you know they can put up big points. It's just something that is a nice little cherry on top of your team. And if it helps you win, it helps you win. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But yeah, Jacksonville was nasty last year, and we had another nasty defense this year. Yeah, Jacksonville, 205 points last season.
Over 200. I believe they were like I remember because I tried selling them in the keeper league because some people were that desperate. I remember marketing them because they finished like 28 or 29 in like total points, not counting quarterbacks.
They were nasty. They had 55 sacks, 21 interceptions, 12 fumbles, 8 total touchdowns, and 2 block kicks. So Jacksonville was hashtag nice last season when it came to fantasy points, but this year not so much.
Not so much at all. So we had a defense not put up over 200 points, but pretty, 183, which is insane considering the second highest defense only had 131. If you don't know, you haven't been paying attention, it's the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, the Bears were nasty. You know, they went out and fleeced the former Raiders front office for one Khalil Mack. They've built a disgusting defense. Just through the draft, they've done a really good job at building that defense, and they had a season to remember outside of, you know, losing to my Eagles in the playoffs, because that's how they double doinked it away. And I mean, the Bears defense is going to be here to stay too. They're so young, they're so talented. They've done a really nice job assembling that defensive unit, and I'm very intrigued to see if they can put on a repeat performance next year, or if they'll be like Jaguars 2.0.
Yeah, and the thing with the Bears is, do you remember how when we were talking about Justin Tucker, right? I mentioned how unless you're that guy in your league, you're not going to be able to get him in drafts because he's going to go so early.
Correct.
The exact same thing is going to happen with Chicago, because the exact same thing happened with Jacksonville. You know, Jacksonville came off of a huge year. I saw Jacksonville getting taken in like 6th and 7th rounds, and it was ludicrous. And I see something similar happen with Chicago. You know, I can see them being taken in the 7th or 8th round when most people are drafting, you know, their backup running backs and backup receivers. So, you know, you're not going to get Chicago unless you plan on being that guy in 2019. With that being said, I think it will pan out a lot better for people with Chicago than it did with people for Jacksonville.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, Jacksonville still has a very talented defense, and Chicago's got a very talented defense. And when you looked at drafts last year, it was kind of just buying your draft pick with the fact that they put up 200-plus points. Maybe they'll do it again. It was kind of like a pipe dream. Don't live on pipe dreams when it comes to defense and kickers. You live on pipe dreams when it comes to RB2s, RB3s, wide receiver 2s, wide receiver 3s. That's where you kind of put your gambling investments in when it comes to your roster construction and drafts. And then defense and kicker is kind of just the cherry on top. If you get the winners, you get the winners. If not, you stream them or you potentially make a trade. But Chicago's defense was nasty. They'll definitely be taken earlier than they should, but I think we'll see a similar performance, but definitely a drop off.
Yeah, my personal tactic whenever I go for defenses is I look at their sacks and then I look at their interceptions. I don't pay attention to the forced fumbles. I don't pay attention to their defensive touchdowns, because those are two things that exactly. If you can find a team that has, you know, 45-plus sacks and I'd say about 14-plus interceptions, that's a pretty safe indication that they're going to perform well in 2019 and you can use, you know, one of your draft picks on him. But the Chicago Bears, 100% going to be the first defense taken off the board in, I'd say, about 99% of drafts in 2019.
Couldn't agree more, and we should have a full healthy season of Khalil Mack, because remember, he missed some games this year, too, with that ankle injury. So yeah. That took away potential points for them, so it could add, it could, you know, continue to see a drop-off, but you never really see repeat performances from defenses, so we'll see if we get that from the Bears.
This next team finished 52 points behind. 52 points. Just saying that out loud is absolutely ridiculous. But this next team finished 52 points behind the Bears. So the Bears averaged 12.2 fantasy points a game. This next team averaged 8.7. So you can see the variance between the Chicago Bears and literally the other 31 teams in the league. But the Los Angeles Rams were the second-best defensive team in terms of fantasy. 38 sacks, 15 interceptions. So this is one of those teams that I would expect to repeat with a, you know, pretty damn good year in 2019. I'm probably not taking them to be the second-best defense, but I'm still keeping them in the top five just because of – I mean, they got some – superhumans on that defense.
Now, I am very interested to see how the Rams go about this offseason. Like you said, they had 38 sacks last year. 20.5 of them came from one guy, and that's Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lose Dante Fowler in free agency, more than likely. Marcus Peters, I believe, is a free agent. Aqib Talib is a free agent.
Yeah.
They have a lot of big-name guys on that defense that are due for contracts, and it's up to this Rams front office to determine who they're going to pay, who they're going to let go, and how they draft. I definitely see this Rams defense kind of falling off a bit next year because they kind of went and pushed their chips all in this year and came just short in the Super Bowl, but that's kind of what they did this year, and next year, I don't know how it's going to turn out for them. I think they'll still be a very good defense. I don't know if they'll be elite like they were this year. Obviously, they have one of the best defensive tackles in the league in Aaron Donald, but one guy can only do so much for you, and you take away his sacks, they only have 18 on the season, so that says a lot about that team and how much Aaron Donald means to it. So they're going to have to do some major upgrades to continue to see consistency from that defensive unit.
So only the top 13 defenses in terms of fantasy finish with over 100 fantasy points. Now, there's a pretty big variance because, you know, if we're talking about, you know, defense, I mean, I'm used to saying quarterback ones or wide receiver ones, but defense ones, I guess you could say, would be the top 12 fantasy defenses in the league. So obviously we know the Bears finished at number one with 183. The Rams finished at number two with 131. The number 12 guys, which we're not really going to talk about, but the Tennessee Titans, they finished with only 103. And there's a huge drop off, you know, between the top three teams and then the other 12. So let's say a draftable defense is going to score you 100 points on the year, right? So would you still consider the Los Angeles Rams to be a draftable fantasy defense?
Oh, they're definitely draftable.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. I just think they're going to not finish number two next year is how I should phrase it. I think they'll be, you know, maybe four, five, six next year.
Yeah, I think
just because
I
of the roster changes that they're going to be undergoing.
Yeah, I think they're going to – I mean, the top – well, first off, only the top one I would consider elite. But then there's, you know, the next two or three defenses I would consider quote-unquote good for fantasy.
Sure.
The Rams I don't think they're going to fall far out of that conversation, but I don't know if we're going to put them in that conversation in 2019.
Yeah.
So next up, we have the Houston Texans. Houston Texans are very good on special teams, clearly. They had the number one ranked kicker, and now they have the number three ranked fantasy defense. They had 40 sacks, 14 interceptions, a ton of forced fumbles with 18 of them, and then four defensive touchdowns, finishing with 130 fantasy points. They're not losing too much, but they might lose Clowney, I think, right?
Yeah, Jadeveon Clowney's the biggest name on that defense. Tyrann Mathieu's also a free agent, so that's another big name in the secondary that they could lose. I like this Texans defense a lot. J.J. Watt's not getting any younger. He's not getting any healthier either. I think they'll still be a top five defense, but they will not be number three.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Especially if Clowney leaves.
If Clowney walks, they're in trouble. Because you're right, J.J. Watt is getting old, and nothing against him. He's a phenomenal player, but he just can't do what he used to do. So
he's got robot body parts.
Exactly. So, I mean, realistically, I'm thinking that it's not going to affect them as much if Tyrann Mathieu goes, as long as Jadeveon Clowney stays. If Jadeveon Clowney stays, I think they stay as at least a top four defense. If Clowney goes, then I'd be concerned about drafting them as a top five.
Yeah, they also have Kareem Jackson, one of their corners, is a free agent. Kayvon Webster, another one of their corners, is a free agent.
So definitely going to be some issues in the secondary.
Yeah, and they have some other depth pieces when it comes to the defense that are free agents as well. So there's going to be some questions for them to potentially consider, and Kiami Fairbairn's a restricted free agent, so a team could sign him to an offer sheet potentially if they need a kicker that badly. But their secondary and obviously Jadeveon Clowney should be their number one concerns. But I still see them as kind of maybe number five, number six in that Rams range, potentially, just because of the looming roster changes.
And these next guys, I know you can't stand them, but I don't think much is happening to them on defense. So before we even talk about them, I'm going to say they're a safe bet to stay pretty much where they are. The Minnesota Vikings finished with 124 points on the year. They had a whopping 50 sacks, 12 interceptions, which the 12 interceptions is a bit lower than I like to draft, but there's only a handful of teams that have more than 14. So, the high amount of sacks kind of offset that number for me. Minnesota stays as a top five defense, you think?
Screw the Minnesota Vikings. they're trash. They are losing potentially quite a few good players that are young as well. Sheldon Richardson, defensive tackle, is a free agent. Anthony Barr is the biggest name. Their outside linebacker is a free agent. Cornerback-wise, Marcus Sherrills and George Iloka at free safety, who they signed but never really used. That was a confusing signing to me. And then Tom Johnson at the defensive tackle as well, and Anthony Harris at strong safety. So the biggest losses they could potentially see would be Sheldon Richardson and Anthony Barr. Anthony Barr would obviously be the biggest. That's essentially that'd be like Houston losing Jadeveon Clowney. I don't know how I feel about this Vikings defense. They are a little bit older. Obviously, they have Eric Kendricks kind of as the heart and soul of that defense. They have Xavier Rhodes, but I'm not that high on Xavier Rhodes as most people are. I think he's a little bit overrated, to be honest.
I completely agree with that.
So there's some questions with this Vikings defense. Could they be top five? Sure. Would I be shocked if they're not? Absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, to be completely honest, I didn't even know they had all those guys, going to free agency.
Yeah.
I knew about Barr, but that was really it, and I anticipated them being able to re-sign him. But we did bring up in a previous episode how they might go out and try to re-sign a certain quarterback, so they might be putting their money on the complete opposite side of the ball.
Please do it.
So.
Please do it. I'd be in my glory.
So we'll see what happens. These next guys are pretty consistent in terms of staying as the top five, top six defense, even though, on paper there's not a whole hell of a lot going on for them. But the Baltimore Ravens, they finished with 120 fantasy points. They are one of only the five teams that we just talked about, to finish with 120-plus fantasy points. 43 sacks, only 9 interceptions, which is a concerning number that I don't really see going too far up. But to me, the Ravens have always been a safe option for as long as I've been playing fantasy, and I don't see why you wouldn't draft them in 2019.
Here's a defense I like, another defense that could potentially lose a game-changing linebacker. C.J. Mosley is slated to hit free agency. He's potentially going to be the best linebacker on the market. He's somebody that Eagles fans are drooling over potentially if Jordan Hicks leaves. That would be a huge loss. Obviously, Terrell Suggs not getting any older, but he's also slated to become a free agent, so they got to determine what they're going to do with Suggs or if he's even going to play next year. Brent Urban at the defensive tackle spot, not sure if he's a rotation guy or not. And then most of the other guys on their defense that are slated to become free agents are just kind of rotation guys or depth guys. But the biggest names, obviously, are Suggs and Mosley at the linebacker position. And Za'Darius Smith as well. I missed that one. He's a younger outside linebacker. So three linebackers that the Ravens are going to have to figure out what they're going to do. Mosley, obviously, being the most important of the three. I still like the Ravens' defense to be top five. They're very consistent. Yeah. They're coached really well. And they're going to have to be, especially with Lamar Jackson being at quarterback and the offense kind of being an unknown. That defense is going to have to really step their game up and carry this team next year. I like their secondary a lot. Obviously, they have Eric Weddle, Jimmy Smith. They're a very good team on defense, and I think they'll continue to do so next year for your fantasy purposes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, the Ravens are just a safe bet all around. So that's really all that I wanted to cover in terms of defense. Now, before I ask you to give me a defense that you're drafting, you know, as a potential top six, top seven defense, I'm going to go ahead and guess that it's going to be Philadelphia.
I like the Eagles defense depending on what they do in free agency.
There's a few
questions that they have to address, mostly with what they're going to do at the defensive tackle slash defensive end depth-wise, and the linebacker position as well, with Jordan Hicks being a free agent. I'm more high on the Eagles' corners and secondary than most. I think Rodney McLeod getting restructured and coming back next year is huge for the secondary for the Eagles. I think it all just fringes upon what they do to kind of upgrade at the linebacker spot and see what they do at the defensive end and defensive tackle rotation, because that's what the Eagles are kind of built on, is that rotation of the front four and making sure everybody's fresh, and that's what keeps Fletcher Cox as dominant as he is. A defense, though, that I'm really high on that a lot of people probably just threw to the wayside once they broke it all up, as long as they, you know, kind of determine what they're going to do with some of the key guys. I like the Seahawks defense still, man.
Yes.
They're so good. They just have a lot of young talent. The Griffin brothers are nasty. A lot of people just kind of wrote them off because the big-name guys are all gone now, and Earl Thomas will probably be gone as well after this season. But I think their biggest concern would be K.J. Wright. He's 30 years old, so you kind of got to figure out what you're going to do with him. He's slated to be a free agent, another top linebacker on the market. But other than that, there's not that many, you know, defensive guys that are really somebody that you'd bring back. I don't even think Frank Clark is playing anymore because of the injury he sustained. So there's a lot of guys on this team that are just going to be here to stay, and I like the Seahawks defense a lot.
Yeah, and, you know, I probably would have picked Seattle too, to be completely honest, about who's a safe bet to kind of creep into the top five, top six defenses. They're like the Ravens, you know, in terms of fantasy. They're incredibly consistent, but unlike the Ravens, I think they're actually trending up, which is surprising because we thought that they were going to really decline on the defensive side of the ball after, you know, they blew the team up essentially. But they really put it together, and I think they're gonna keep things together.
I was wrong. Yeah. I confused Frank Clark with Cliff Avril.
Oh, gotcha. That's all right.
But yeah, this Seahawks defense is very good, even with all the bigger name guys like Michael Bennett being in Philly, which I personally am happy about. Richard Sherman being in San Fran. Earl Thomas probably going to the Cowboys in free agency. And then obviously, you know, Byron Maxwell kind of fizzled out of the league. And then Cam Chancellor's done. So
yeah,
a lot of people kind of just wrote them off. But I think this team is still really good, and they've drafted well on the defensive side at least. And that's kind of been their bread and butter since Pete Carroll got there. But I like that defense, and a defense you brought up earlier that I think a lot of people underrate is the Tennessee Titans defense. They do a lot of things right. They have a lot of really, you know, just kind of under the radar star players on that defense. And a lot of people should keep an eye on the Tennessee Titans defense next year, because I think they're going to wreak some havoc and put up some numbers for sure.
Yeah, you know, this time last year, you were, well, I don't know if it was a year ago, but it was before the season started. You were very hype about Tennessee offense, which I couldn't have disagreed with you more on. But I will agree with you on their defense. I do like their defense. I like what they bring to the table. And they are one of those defenses that can be consistent for you. And at a position that's as volatile as, you know, the defense and special teams, it's really all you could ask for at the end of the day is some consistency, and Tennessee's going to give you that.
Yeah, and I mean, they're going to lose Brian Arakpo because he's retiring, but they have Jarrell Casey, who's one of the most underrated defensive tackles in the entire league. Kenny Vaccaro is a solid safety for them. Malcolm Butler has been good, you know, in his first season there. Adoree Jackson's a budding superstar. Logan Ryan was good for them last year. Kevin Byard. You know, they have a lot of really good just defensive pieces that play well together. And I think the Titans defense is somebody, you know, a unit that you can rely on fantasy-wise next year to give you a lot of points. And I'm putting a little hinge that they could be a top six defense next year.
I like it. I like the pick. And then I'm gonna sneak in a pick too. Maybe it's just my bias, but I like Carolina next year. I know they just lost Julius Peppers. I know they just lost Thomas Davis, but that's really it on the defensive side of the ball.
And they cut Captain Munnerlyn today.
And yeah, but he's been.
I agree.
Yeah, you already...
They're doing the right things by kind of just letting this older guard of defensive players go, and they just got to... I think what they have to do is just address it in the draft.
Yeah, and if they can somehow get their hands... Now, this is a dream scenario for me, but if they can somehow get their hands on Greedy Williams, you know, the stud corner from LSU, and stick him in that secondary immediately, if they can go out... And they can either, you know, trade up to draft a solid guy for the line, or even sign a guy for the line. I mean, there's tons of defensive ends that are going to be in free agency this year. You know, they're only missing one or two pieces into being a truly great defense, in my opinion. And in 2019, as I've mentioned in literally almost every single episode so far, because I'm obsessed with this, not in a good way, is that Cam Newton might be sitting out in 2019. Meaning, if Carolina wants to win a single freaking game, their defense is going to have to step up. And a defense led by Luke Kuechly is not going to go down without a fight in those scenarios. So Carolina is going to be one of those defenses that will probably go undrafted in most leagues because of how they finished in 2019. And they're going to be the defense that I'm targeting in round 15 when I just need a defense to fill in, and you know, we'll see what happens, but I truly do like them to rebound pretty big in 2019.
Yeah, I think it all fringes upon Luke Kuechly being healthy. And then my other two kind of dark horse defenses as well, Denver Broncos, Atlanta Falcons.
See, I agree with Denver. Atlanta is very interesting.
My big reasoning for Atlanta is they were just like the Eagles last year. They were ravaged by injuries, and I think once they're healthy, they're going to have a nice little unit out there, and that secondary is something that you shouldn't mess around with when they're healthy. I think Atlanta secondary is one of the top secondaries in the league.
See, I hate Atlanta, but I mean, they do have a handful of really good guys on that defense, and if they can figure out how to finally put it all together, I mean, they could be a really scary defense.
Yeah, I agree.
But, I mean, unless you have anything else to add, I think that about wraps up the episode.
Just remember, defenses win championships, kickers belong in leagues, and we promised you kickers and defenses, and we gave you almost a full hour of it. So you're welcome. Get ready for 2019 with it.
I think this might be more impressive than me stringing together a half hour for tight ends by myself.
It just goes to show you how important kickers and defenses are.
Exactly. They will make or break your fantasy year. As always, I am Mikey, joined by Kyle Bennett of Underground Sports Philadelphia. Make sure you're following Kyle, myself, Underground Sports, Goal Line Fantasy on Twitter. Make sure you head over to the, what's it, T-Republic?
T-Public.com. Just search Underground Sports Philadelphia. You can find all of our fantasy football players of the week apparel and merch up there. Ranges from Ryan Fitzpatrick to Tyreek Hill to Patrick Mahomes to Nick Foles, Zach Ertz, Marlon Mack. So it goes to show
my boy,
you
Christian McCaffrey,
Mitch Trubisky. It just goes to show you who had some insane weeks throughout the fantasy year with all those names in there. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick of all people got a shirt last year. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you're subscribed to us on iTunes, Spotify. The iTunes numbers have seen a nice little uptick, but we need those 5-star ratings and reviews. So make sure you're reviewing and rating the podcast for any of the shows that you listen to on the Underground Sports Philadelphia podcast feed. You get a ton of them. You get almost a show per day during the week. So make sure you're doing that. It really helps the podcast go a long way. Make sure you're checking out Goal Line because Mikey is brewing some things up over there. The official fantasy football blog of Underground Sports Philadelphia. And I don't know what our next pod will be because the reviews of 2018 are over.
You know, I can tell you exactly what it's going to be. You ready for this?
Let's hear it.
Something freaking awesome.
That's all you need to know. And that's why you should rate and review the podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
What's coming next? It's a mystery, but it's going to rock your socks. I can guarantee that.
I'm all about it.
But anyway, all right, guys, go out. Have a good one. And make sure you join us again because we're bringing some fire.
Peace. Thank you.